Now going to have our Bible reading, which is from Colossians 1, 24 to 29. And this is in the New Testament section of the Bible and starts on page 1117. It's Colossians 1, 24 to 29. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I will fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known amongst the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me.
Thank you. Well, good morning. Let's begin in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you speak to us, how you touch our lives. We pray, Lord God, that this morning, as we explore what you might be having to say to us through your word, we pray that you would challenge us afresh. You'd give us a fresh vision for who you are and for how we live our lives in accordance with your love and your grace. And that we might be changed because of all that you've done and all that you are doing in and through us. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, hopefully this morning you've picked up our text card for the year and put it somewhere nice and prominent as a reminder of this great passage, this great passage of scripture that Paul shared with the Colossian church. And obviously we've heard that verse read this morning. We've had a little insight into what Paul was saying right at the beginning of that letter. And I'd like to spend the opportunity this morning just trying to come to terms with and come to grips with what Paul was trying to get across, the message that he was trying to share with the Colossian church at that time. Core purpose and mission statements. They're things that are seemingly declared and shared by every organization, every group, every company, charity, every project that is about at this time. And they're a good thing. They're a good thing because the core purpose does a number of things for those who are looking in at an organization and for those who are within it. Core purpose captures the soul. It shares the heartbeat of that organization. It's who we are. The core purpose answers why we exist. This is our purpose. This is who we are. This is what we're about. This is why we do what we do. This is what keeps us going day by day, week by week. And it sets the standard for ultimate success. So a core purpose says this is, if we achieve this, then we've achieved everything that we set out to do. Then we've done everything that we needed to do, everything that we wanted to do as an organization, as a group. So it can be a good thing. It gives us a target. It gives us something to focus on. A core purpose can also be a bad thing if it's delivered badly, if it's not put across well, if it's difficult to recognize or understand. I was looking at a few different core purposes from different organizations out there, big organizations that you'd think would get it really just spot on and just right. And I struggled with a couple. Sony, their core purpose is this, to experience the joy of advancing and applying technology for the benefit of the public. Dell Computers, their core purpose is to be the most successful computer company in the world at delivering the best customer service in markets we serve. I don't even know what that says. But I also found some core purposes from organizations that really inspired me, really challenged me, really made me think. Live Strong, to inspire and empower people affected by cancer. Oxfam's core purpose, to create lasting solutions to poverty, hunger, and social injustice. Care, to serve individuals and families in the poorest communities in the world. I don't know, maybe it says more about me that those last three challenged me that little bit more. Feel free to psychoanalyze me at some point. But Dell and Sony, their core purpose didn't quite grip me in the same way. You see, a good core purpose says, I want to be a part of that. I'm in. I buy into this. Actually, this is what I am about. That's my heartbeat too. And so what is Paul saying in Colossians? What is the message that Paul's getting across in this early part of this great letter? Verse 28, our church text for the year, Paul says this. He shares his core purpose. Actually, he shares not just his core purpose, but the core purpose of the Colossian church. This is we proclaim. This is not just about him. This is about those with whom he's writing the letter to as well. This is what we proclaim. He's saying this is what it's about. Everything else that I do, everything else that we do fits into this one thing. We proclaim him, that is Christ, admonishing everyone. In the original, in the Greek, it says admonishing everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. I love the way Paul uses these extreme words, everyone, all, perfect. You see, this is an all-encompassing purpose. And this is the purpose, the core purpose of Paul and the Colossian church. And this is something that he's passionate about. You just have to look at his life and his ministry. You just have to look at what Paul does and how he spends his time. He gives his whole life to these words. He gives everything that he has, everything that Paul is about is reaching people, proclaiming Christ, teaching people with wisdom, sharing the gospel so that he may present people to Christ perfect. Why is Paul so passionate about this? What is it that makes Paul say, yes, this is something that I want to buy into. This is something that I want to do and spend the rest of my life doing. Well, actually, we only need to look a few verses earlier to find out why this was so important to Paul. If you've got your Bibles open, just a few verses before, from verse 21, actually, just before where we read earlier. Verses 21 to 23, it says this. Once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy. Can you see what Paul's doing here is he's drawing a parallel between Christ and his own ministry. See, what did Jesus do? Jesus, because of his life and his death, his physical death, he is able to present us before God holy. That's exactly what Paul's saying here, isn't it? just go back one slide, please. It's exactly what Paul is saying at this point. Paul is saying that we present everyone perfect in Christ. That's the challenge. That's what he's trying to do. Without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you have heard. And has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, for which I, Paul, am a servant. Why has Paul bought into this? Well, firstly, because this is what Jesus was all about. This is what Jesus gave his life for. And so Paul wants to align himself with Jesus and say, do you know what? If that's what Jesus wanted to do with his life, if that's how Jesus wanted to spend his life, do you know, I'm going to do the same. I'm going to stand alongside Jesus and live my life for him so that I may be able to present others perfect in Christ. And secondly, he draws that, the work that Jesus has done in himself, and he says, and this is why we do it. Once you were alienated from God, but now you have been reconciled to Christ. Once Paul was a murderer of Christians, and now he is an evangelical proclaimer of the gospel of Christ. You see, his life has been so turned upside down, so flipped over, that he wants to make sure everyone else gets that same opportunity. To have a life changed, a life renewed, a life restored, because of what God has done. And if that's not enough motivation to buy into the greatest cause on earth, then I don't know what is. You see, you can buy into Dell or Sony, and you can go along with their great core, or not so great, core purpose. And I'm not being flippant. You can even buy into what Oxfam do and say, you know, they're great and they're doing a great job and I believe in them. But Jesus Christ is the greatest cause of all. Jesus Christ is the one above all else that we should be buying into and living our lives by. Jesus Christ is the one whose heartbeat, who our heartbeat should be for. At Harford Baptist Church, we've recently adopted a core purpose that's not too dissimilar to what Paul is stating in Colossians 1. It's actually written in blue on the bottom there. And in case you can't read it in blue, it's in black as well. And if you're really clever, you can try and read the two at the same time. But that was impossible for me, so... Or memorize it. Our core purpose, leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. 9 words. Memorable. Life-changing. 25 years ago, I met a man called Trevor. He was an officer in the Boys Brigade that I went to. I was a part of it. I loved the Boys Brigade. It's a uniformed organisation that's regimented, well organised, structured. It's somewhere where I felt comfortable and welcome. I had friends there, and it was a challenging environment for me as a boy, as a teenage boy growing up. You know, I needed the buzz and the excitement and the thrill that Boys Brigade provided. But I also needed some light shed on the dark places in my life. I also needed an opportunity for someone to answer some of the difficult questions that I was facing as I was growing up, just like every teenager. But actually, just like every single one of us, I needed someone to walk alongside me, someone to journey with me, someone who would be there for the moments when I didn't understand what was going on or couldn't grasp the challenges that I was facing. And that's where Trevor comes in. You see, I remember Trevor as a quiet man, confident, joyful, wise. Someone who was in control, someone who I looked up to and admired and respected. You can probably think of someone in your life, someone in your history who's a little bit like Trevor. Trevor was a godly man. I mean, he knew God. He wasn't perfect. In fact, he confessed his sin. He recognized his failings. He wasn't boring. He knew how to have a good time. In fact, I would call him a friend. And what Trevor did was he showed me what Jesus was like. He gave me a picture of Christ. He helped me with the questions that I had, when my faith was rocked, when I was challenged, when I didn't know what way to turn. Trevor was there for me. He walked with me as I journeyed through life, as I went through the good moments and the bad moments. And he did this out of obedience to God and out of a love for me and many others. You know, Trevor didn't drag me anywhere. He didn't take me where I didn't want to go, but he led me in a real and compelling and life-changing way. Trevor led me into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know, that's what God wants each and every one of us to do in our lives for other people. That's why it's our core purpose. I want you to imagine for a moment if everyone in this room decided and committed to becoming a Trevor. If we all decided that we were going to get alongside one, two or three people, journey with them, give our lives for them, selflessly sacrifice for them, giving them spiritual direction, giving them hope, changing lives the way Trevor changed mine. Do you know what? We could make a real difference. We could change Hartford. It's not about starting some revolution. But it is about directing people towards Christ. I don't know, maybe you don't feel up to it. Maybe you don't feel like you could do that. Maybe you don't feel godly enough. Maybe you're more Mr. Messy than Lionel Messi. Someone said that to me a while ago, I quite liked it. Perhaps you don't feel skillful enough. You don't feel like you've got what it takes to do it. Your life's too much of a mess. Let me show you a picture. It's up on the screen as well. This was painted by, not surprisingly, Silas, my youngest son. He's 6 now. He was about 2 when he did this. I don't even know exactly how old he was. But ever since he did it, it's been sitting up on my wall in my office. It hangs there amongst a whole load of other pictures that all my boys have done. And I love it. And 2 weeks ago, Silas came into my office and he saw this painting up on the wall. And I think he was a little bit embarrassed because, you know, he's grown up a bit now and he does real artwork. And you can recognize what it is nowadays. And he said to me, he said, "Dad, why have you still got that up there?" So I looked at him, saw the embarrassment and said, "You know what, I'll take it down one day. I'll take that down." But over the last couple of weeks, I've come to think, actually, I probably won't take it down. I'll tell him that, but I probably won't take it down because I don't want to. I want this painting up on my wall because I love it. You know, it's a mess of thick brush strokes, yellow and green and blue and red and pink. And I love it. And I remember the day that Silas presented this to me with a big smile on his face, proudly handed his dad his best effort. He wanted to make me happy. And I loved it. And you know, that's all God wants for us, for you and for me. Our best effort, the best that we've got. Not a masterpiece. God's not asking for perfection from you. God's asking for our best. God's asking for whatever we've got to offer him. Doesn't matter if it's not perfect. It matters if it's everything you've got. It matters if it's your best effort. We've just entered a new year. You might have noticed. 2015 is right in front of you. And 2015 provides a blank canvas. It provides an opportunity. And it's waiting for you to get out your colouring pens or your paintbrushes and start working. Start doing your artwork. But what are you going to do? Are you going to stand there and freeze because you're worried that it's not going to be perfect? You're worried that whatever you present to God, it's not going to be brilliant. I want to encourage you to trust God and to just give your best, because God will love that. God will love whatever you present, so long as it's the best you can do. And I also want to ask that you don't compare yourself with others. If you feel the challenge to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, don't look at the people next to you and see how they're doing and check. So I'm not doing quite as well as that person. You know, they're really good with relationships and they get alongside people really well, and I'm not quite as equipped and I don't do such a good job. Or the other way around, well, you know, clearly I know what I'm talking about. I've got this all sorted. And so-and-so next to me is not quite as good at this as me. Don't compare yourself. Just give your best for God. And don't try and rub out mistakes, because there will be mistakes along the way. You're not going to get it perfect. You're not going to get it right. Just keep on going. Keep on giving your best. In order to present everyone perfect in Christ, in order that we might align ourselves with Jesus and say, you know what, because of Jesus, I am going to do this and I'm going to give my very best for him as I lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray now, and after I've prayed, Dave is going to lead us with a song, but it's a song that for reflection. It's not a song for us to sing along to unless you feel compelled to. I want to encourage you to listen to the words. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you accept us just as we are. I thank you for Jesus, for his life and for his death, for selflessly giving himself for us. I thank you that Paul was obedient to your call as well. I pray, Lord God, for each one of us as we go into this new year, that we might be people who are willing to lead others, who are willing to sacrifice and lay down our own lives for others so that they might see more of you. Lord, and I pray that as we go through this challenge, as we make mistakes, as we fail at times, Lord, your grace will be enough for us, and that your greatness as our Lord and our King, might win over all things. In your name we pray. Amen.